you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We're going to talk about two facts that the Bible gives us about faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. It's the hall of fame of those that were faithful to the Lord and believed in all of His promises. Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is probably preached about more than any other subject in the Bible, yet it seems to be something that most Christians know very little about. This may explain why many Christians are not growing in the Lord and why that their lives are void when it comes to the blessings of Almighty God. We cannot read about a single individual in the Bible and not see how that his or her faith affected them in a positive way if they had faith. In a lack of faith, we see them not being affected or being affected in a negative way. Something we all should be seeking God to do for us is simply to strengthen our faith. I believe if Jesus died for our sins and rose again on the third day, that we have so much to be confident in and to be trustful of, knowing that He that is alive and well will keep every promise that He has made to us, that one day He's going to come back for His church. I believe, though, that if Jesus was alive physically today, He would do just as He did a number of years ago in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, when He went back to Nazareth, His own city. And it says He marveled because of their unbelief. We need to recognize this morning just how our unbelief has robbed us of God's blessings. And these are blessings that we so desperately need. Our attitude should be like that of the father who came to the Lord Jesus Christ when he had a son that had a deaf and dumb spirit. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. This is one of the great needs of the hour, not only for our families, but for our church as well. God, help me to believe. I believe, help thou my unbelief. In every church, we need that. We need it here. Faith cometh by hearing. So I want us to hear what God's word has to say to us this morning. Number one, the reality of God. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Most folks do not know that there are two kinds of atheists this morning, and we're going to look at these two. First of all, the Bible describes to us that there is a spoken atheist. In Psalms 14, verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Notice that this same verse also tells us why the foolish would state such a thing. It says, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. Now, it is not a rare thing in this day in which we live to hear a man or a woman say, I do not believe that there is a thing as a God. The Bible tells us that a man like this is simply trying to fool himself. And the reason what the Bible gives us is that he is corrupt and that he has done abominable works. Sinners do not want to meet God with all of their evil deeds. They will not repent of their sins. And so they simply say that I do not believe that there is a God. I remind you this morning that God says that they're only trying to fool themselves. There is no such thing as a true atheist. For a person to be a true atheist, he or she would have to know everything there is to know about everything, and no one knows that but God. So since no man can truthfully state that he knows everything, then there is not a true atheist. There are many foolish people on this earth, but this one of a person that does not believe in God, I think is the most foolish of all. I do not believe there is a God while we're surrounded by all the evidences of the fact of a loving God. Reminds me of the preacher that told the story about a professor at a very large university who made no secret of the fact that he was an atheist. He would tell his students, if you don't throw aside your faith in God and act in your own knowledge and strength, you'll never get very far in this world. One day during a class, the matter of rainmaking came up for discussion. The professor quickly stated hypothetically, what help was faith in God during the recent drought? A lot of farmers got down on their knees and they asked God for rain. But what did they get in answer to their prayers? Nothing. One day, as they talked about this, he said they should have gone to science. They should have sent a man up in a plane, dropped some chemicals on a cloud, and you'd get rain. No need of God. He said, any questions? One in the back of the room said, yes, I have a question. The young student asked, who furnishes the clouds if there is no God? Children voice more intelligence sometimes than a PhD. Who says that there is no God? The PhD said to the little boy one day, I'll give you an orange if you can tell me one place where God is. The little boy came back and said, I'll give you a basket full of oranges if you can tell me one place where God is not. We repeat, there is no such thing as a true atheist. Only ungodly men and women who are corrupt and they have done abominable works. The atheist displeases God with his unbelief. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe first of all that he is. We must believe that there is a God. We're here this morning because we know that there is a God in heaven. We know that he is the creator of all things that we see. We know he is the one that formed us out of the dust of the earth. We know that he breathed into our nostrils that breath of life and we became a living soul. I'm here to believe and to tell you this morning that our God is alive and well, and he sent his son in the fullness of time that he might come and live upon this earth and make atonement for our sins in order that we might make heaven our home. He said, if I'm going to go from you, I will come again in like manner as you see me go. Amen. Well, there's also the unspoken atheist. This second kind of atheist reminds me of the preacher who went to a new church, and the church began to grow by leaps and bounds. In the church were two wealthy brothers who always had their way, and needless to say, they were holding the church back. Soon after the new preacher arrived, one of the brothers died. The day before his funeral, the living brother came to the new preacher and said this, and I quote, you know that new church building that you want built for the church? Well, here's a check for the full amount. All you have to do is to say tomorrow at the funeral that my brother was a saint. The next day at the funeral, the preacher stood over the corpse and said, before us today is one of the meanest men that ever lived. He was a wife beater. He cheated on his wife. He lied. He gossiped. He was one of the rottenest sinners that ever lived in this town. But compared to his brother, he is a saint. The spoken atheist makes the unspoken atheist look like a saint. But the fact is that the man who doubts the existence of God, whether it is a spoken or unspoken thing, displeases the Lord. You see, the unspoken atheists do not make a mockery of the existence of God. In fact, they may even attend church on occasions. They may read their Bible on occasions. But the fact still is, though, that they deny the existence of God and they're filled with doubt and unbelief. Have you this morning? Have you noticed that bad things usually happen to those that are filled with doubt and unbelief? If you listen to folks talk, you can hear their doubt expressed in their words. Helen Hayes, many years ago, cooked her first turkey for Thanksgiving. Before she served it to her husband and son, she announced, I know that this is the first turkey I've ever cooked. If it isn't right, I don't want anybody to say a word. We'll just get up from the table without a comment, go down to the hotel for dinner. When she came into the dining room with that large cooked turkey on the tray, ready to serve, she found her husband and son already at the table. They had their coats and their hats on. They were ready to leave. They didn't want to eat a turkey that she had doubts about even before she started. We have a lot of folks today who cannot serve God effectively because they're filled with doubts. And they're filled with this unbelief. I think the most basic thing in your Christian life is faith. Something you have to settle once and for all that there is a God. I'm here to tell you this morning that all you've got to do is just go through your life every day. And you realize so much of all that happens to you that God has his hand upon you and he's protecting you. You know, every time I take off and I go on a trip, I ask God, Lord, put a hedge around us. And I pray that you'll protect us. And I've always found that God is faithful. He'll do exactly what he has promised in his word. You can depend on it. You know that God will take care of you. You'll never be able to reap the blessings that God would have you have and receive the promises that he has given to you unless you believe. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God cannot answer prayers that are prayed in unbelief because they do not give glory to God. Now, let me say this morning, I believe in divine healing, not divine healers. Just suppose I have a desperate physical need, and I pray something like this. God, I am not sure that you exist. But if you do exist, I'm not sure you love me enough to help me. But if you do exist, and if you do love me enough to help me, will you touch my body? Now, just suppose that I do get well. Do I give God thanks? Do I give God thanks for healing my body when I'm not even sure that he exists? I could easily rationalize that it was not God at all, but it was the medications that I took. It was the doctor and the hospital care that I received. These were the things that were responsible for making me better. This is what the unspoken atheist does. He is not convinced that God really exists, so he cannot thank him, nor can he give him credit. Every person, all people who claim to be Christians, sometimes find themselves in this predicament. Have you ever maybe doubted God? Have you ever kind of stepped back a little bit and say, well, Lord, I don't know if this is too big for you or not. I don't know, Lord, if you can handle this, but I'm here to tell you he is omnipotent. Amen. And he has all power. And I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. Amen. He will give us the victory to overcome. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus had gone back to Nazareth and he had a desire to do a great work among the people that he had been raised up with. But the Bible tells us in verse 58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I believe God wants to do some great things in our midst, but sometimes we just don't have enough faith to believe God can get it done. And so we step back and we hesitate and we don't just put our best foot forward and say, God, I trust you. I'll know you'll bless us and take care of us and you'll provide for us whatever our needs are. I'm convinced that we need to be people of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it also says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them, they embraced them, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now here in Hebrews chapter 11, this is God's hall of fame of great men and women of faith, whose belief in God's existence could not be shaken. You see, the Bible says he is a rewarder, and I believe that, of those that diligently seek him. I want us to look at a few individuals in Hebrews 11. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now God accepted both the offering of Cain and Abel. It was not the offering that really made the difference, but it was the character of the two. The Bible says about Abel and his offering, he said, by faith, Abel, by faith, his offering was made. And he goes on to say, he being dead, yet speaketh. So it reminds me the sacrifice of faith that Abel offered up thousands of years ago still speaks to us today, even though he is dead. Isn't it amazing? We still talk about his faith. Verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now it says, Noah or Enoch pleased God. How do we please God? I want to please him, don't you? How do we please him? The Bible said, by faith. By faith we please our God. I'm here to tell you that I think Enoch came upon something. You know, he got close to the Lord, and tradition says that he walked with God in the cool of the evening every day, and they fellowshiped together. But one day he got closer to God's home than he did to his own home, and God said, Enoch, why don't you just go home with me? And he did. Now, wouldn't that be a nice way to go, that one day he didn't come home? The neighbors looked for him. The wife, the kids looked for him, you know. He didn't come home. Where'd he go? God took him, you know. Kind of reminds me of the rapture that's going to happen one of these days, that all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of folks leaving this old world behind, and folks are going to say, where did they go? Praise God, we know where we're going. What a blessing to be a child of God. Verse 7, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness of God. Well, God asked Noah to do something that had never been done before. Brother, it had never rained before. It had always, the earth had been watered by the dew, but it never rained. God told Noah to warn the people, and for 120 years he did that. But nobody listened. But I'm convinced that when the waters came down and God opened up the floodgates and water kept rising and rising, after a while it kind of wiped the smile off of their face. They weren't laughing anymore. They weren't mocking Noah anymore. I'm here to tell you, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I'm here to tell you this morning that folks just don't seem to think he's coming back. I know he is. The Bible says he is. And I believe the word of God. I know that he's coming. He told us in his word he's coming. So we need to be ready to meet him. Because one of these days, the fire of God's wrath will come. And then it says in verse 11 and 12, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore in numerable. God promised Abraham an heir. All of her life, Sarah had been barren. She wanted to bear a male child, but she was barren. And then at the age of 90, when she heard that God said she was going to have a child, the Bible said she what? She laughed. She laughed. But Abraham believed God. Well, it wasn't long after that somebody probably came up to her and said, I notice you're putting on a little weight. Have you husbands and men ever said to your wife, it looks like you're getting a little weight there? No, you wouldn't do that. Not if you want to live. But after a while, she knew and everybody knew that she was going to give birth to a child. The whole Jewish nation and our Messiah himself are products of Abraham's faith. In verse 20, we see Isaac in his faith, Jacob in 21, Joseph in 22, Moses in 23, Joshua in verse 30, Rahab the harlot in verse 31. Talks about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, these were all great men and women of faith. They would not be listed in this chapter if they had not believed in the existence of God and if they had not believed that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after him. Let me read these verses in closing. Verses 33 through 40, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, Stop the mouths of lion, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and the caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but God having provided some better thing for us. These were richly rewarded because of their faith in God. Great men and women that were listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they've come and they have gone. Faith in God is what made the difference in their lives. The same thing will make a difference in my life and your life. We also must not only believe that he exists, but recognize he is a rewarder of those promises that he's made to us. I'm here to tell you this morning that every promise in that book is precious. It's precious to God, it's precious to us. And I can tell you that every promise in that book he is going to keep. He's kept every one of them. Now there's some still going to come. One of these days he'll split that eastern sky. One of these days there'll be the angel of God with one foot on the earth and the other on dry land, and the trump of God will blow and the cry will go out, time will be no more. And everything is rolled up like a scroll. Brother, and I'm here to tell you, I want to live by faith, walk by faith, and that faith in God and all the promises that he's given us will stand the test of time. It is that rock of God's word that you can build your life on. It's a solid foundation. I ask you this morning, is your life on the solid foundation of the word of God? If not, you come and by faith give your heart and life to the Lord this morning. Let's bow for prayer.